your workings through us, and we celebrate your great name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you have a Bible, an electronic Bible that is equipped with a lexicon that can take you directly to the original words that were used in either Hebrew or Greek, whether you are in the Old or the New Testament, as the case may be, you'll find that the Greek word for man is anthropos, a being that was created to stand erect and was designed to look upward. Anthropos speaks about the relationship that is sustained between the moon and the sun. Sometimes you may look into the sky and see the moon bright in the sky. It is not because the moon has its own illumination. The extent of illumination that the sun, the moon sustains is occasioned by its angulation to the sun. If it is adequately angulated to the sun, it is going to shed more of the light of the sun. What the moon does is to reflect the light that comes upon it. And so we are such creatures that can only reflect that which we tap from God. You are not a source. You are just a conduit. That's how God created man. Are you with me? Number two, we saw in our study how that by default, God created you to be insufficient, created you to be limited. He created you to be handicapped. And he did that intentionally because he wants you to acknowledge, first of all, your inadequacy. And when you have so acknowledged your inadequacy, you become suited to take advantage of the reinforcement and the resource that God has made available to drive you. Your automobile runs on petrol. As you will see in a moment, you were designed to run on grace. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like you to understand very well before we begin to make our progression for the evening. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we take a scripture? Let me just refresh your memory before we begin to make progress in our study for the evening. The first scripture I'd like you to take, and if it is possible to give life to this screen so that you can be showing the scriptures of interest on the screen to make it easier for me to navigate. So you give life to the screen. In the book of Luke chapter 24, I'd like to draw your attention to a few matters. Because someone might be so angry in this congregation hearing that I am saying that God created you to be insufficient. That's not my statement. It's in the Bible. Because it was Paul that says that our sufficiency is of God. So God created you insufficient so that you will find your sufficiency in God. It's on the strength of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5 that we can define grace accurately. Because the definition of grace is not unmerited favor as you thought. But grace is actually God working with man to swallow up his infirmity and to make him such a creature that can serve his will with an accuracy of exactitude. And as we study today, you will understand a few things. But I'd like us to understand this creature first called man. Because I'm saying that the fuel with which man was designed to function is called grace. So just like if you have insufficient fuel and you want to go to Abuja, you might find yourself stopping your journey in Lafia. Not because there is a deficiency with your vehicle, but the facility by which the automobile runs is insufficient. God is saying that all the capacities that you have in your natural makeup cannot be relied upon as instruments through which your destiny can be adequately prosecuted. So the first wisdom that comes to mortal man is that he is in desperate need of grace. I said I want to draw your attention quickly, but I'm waiting for the media people to empower that screen and give me some scriptures on that screen. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Are you there? Luke chapter 24 from verse 39. Before we advance, I want to show you the state, the biblical state of man. Hallelujah. Biblical state. Sister Grace, I'd like you to read this scripture. And as I read, follow me very carefully. The scripture says, behold my hand. This is Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll find that this statement was made by Jesus. He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. This is Jesus trying to introduce himself to his disciples when he had survived the grave. He had conquered death. He had conquered Hades. He had conquered Satan. And he had returned from a place that no mortal has ever returned from. So he needed to introduce himself afresh. This is the introduction that he gave them. There were many ways, many styles of introduction that he would have adopted in trying to acquaint himself with a community of his followers. This was what he chose. What did Jesus say? He said, behold my hands and my feet. Grace. Take note of. Jesus said, handle me and see. Now, see, this is Pastor Dan. No, please don't stand up. Pastor Dan is sitting on a seat. Even if I want to sit on this seat, Pastor Dan has occupied it. See, it means Pastor Dan can occupy space. Are you with me? That is the reason why I can behold him, because he has occupied space. As I'm looking at him now, I can't see the chair. He has blocked the chair. He occupies space. That's the first thing. He said, behold my hands and my feet. He said, handle me and see. It means he contains matter. Matter. Right? And this event took place in time. And Jesus said, a spirit. Because I came to tell you that you are not a spirit. As powerful, as anointed as that statement was when you were saying it, it's not biblical. He said, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me. That's not how spirits are. Spirits cannot occupy space. They can't relate with space. They can't relate with location. They can't relate with time. They don't have matter. You see, a spirit does not have what? Flesh and bones, as he see me have. So this man, if this scripture means anything, he's not a spirit. Meanwhile, the Bible says that there is a spirit in man, but he never said man is a spirit. You were designed to have a spirit. You were designed to have a soul. You were designed to have a body. Man is not spirit. Man is spirit, soul, and body. That enterprise called man is what? Spirit, soul, and body. When you finish your pilgrimage in this world, are you with me? You will no longer have need for this body. It is only when you are in Hades that you will be without a body. And Hades is like a waiting lounge. Those of you that have ever used an airport, when you come into the airport, you are checked in and all of that. If it's not time for your flight, you will have to wait in the lounge. Hades is the place that was designed for spirits that are departed from the pilgrimage of time. In Hades, you will have a spirit and a soul. You won't have it. The temple of the body. Huh? The moment the trumpet sounds, God has scheduled our next appointment in the kingdom. Are you with me? Yes. Our next appointment in the kingdom after passing through Hades is called judgment. We are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's different from the white throne judgment. Before you stand before the judgment seat, as you are released from Hades to resurrect, you will be given a body. It's a body of heaven. But man, in order for man to be man, he must always be spirit, soul, and body. The only time you will operate without a body is when you are in Hades. Exactly. Second scripture. Because I want you to see some scriptures before we progress. Another scripture that a lot of preachers used to argue, the fact that we are spirit. Which, because if you don't know that you are not spirit, you will not know the place for grace. Have you heard that angels need grace to function? Have you heard that? No. The reason is because they are spirit. And the reason why you need grace is because you are not spirit. Grace will make you operate in the capacity. Grace will make you spiritual. But grace will not make you spirit. So there's a difference between spiritual and what? Spirit. Just like that, there's a difference between a gift of the Spirit and the Spirit. Huh? For instance, the Bible says that the Spirit of God in us, He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So that witness that the Holy Ghost bears is not a gift of the Spirit. It's dependent on whether you have what? The Spirit. The moment you have the Spirit of God will bring you witness of whether you are in connection with God or not. And that's why it's very easy on a crusade ground when the evangelist throws in the towel for salvation. Suddenly the Spirit will help even the unbeliever to know that you are not with God. Second scripture. I want us to do a brief so that you will know the place of grace. Second scripture I need to expose you to is in the book of John chapter 3. Are you there in John chapter 3? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then there's a statement I want to draw your attention to, which is verse 4. No, I think it's fine. But let's read. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb but be born? So Jesus, trying to give him insight, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is complex. So Jesus, attempting to explain, said something in verse 6. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, that's the statement I've been looking for. Are you with me? You are not with me. Stay with me. When we are doing Bible study, don't be somewhere else. Be here. Now listen. Dan is spirit, soul, and body. Is that clear? And Jesus is saying that component of Dan, that part of Dan that is born of the spirit, that is capable of being regenerated, is what part? The spirit part. It is that which is born of the spirit, because your soul is not born of the spirit. What becomes born again in you is what? Have you ever seen, okay, we don't even need to talk about new converts. Many of us here, there are times when you, the way you think is the way you were thinking when you were an unbeliever. There used to be a wizard that gave his life to Christ. One of us those days was a wizard. So he now ran to me that some people challenge him in the office that he wants to kill all of them. So he forgot that he was born. You know why? It was as though he forgot. His soul had not experienced what his spirit had enjoyed in God. So it was still the old soul, but his spirit was born. Jesus is saying that which was transformed, that which God touched, that which is born of the spirit is the spirit part. All right? So your spirit experiences regeneration. It comes alive when the Holy Ghost begins to dwell in your spirit. And when you begin to attend to the word of God and you begin to practice obedience, your soul goes through a process called renewal. Renewal has to do with God changing the way you think, God changing your preferences, God giving you an understanding of what is important in this new life. Are you with me? So that when the devil comes to try to find compatibility after the fallen man, he'll find out that this man has been renewed in his soul. He doesn't think like the way he used to think when he was an unbeliever. The preferences he has now are different from the preferences he used to have. If you entice him with the products that used to keep him in bondage, you might just find out he has found a new love. So the process of renewal goes on. And the more renewed you are in your soul, the more you'll be able to detect the enemy when he comes to speak into your soul, because the word of God has subjected that apartment to renewal. Exactly. Are you still with me? But that which is born of the spirit is what? I don't have time to walk with you. I don't have time. Because the subject is not about the salvation of the soul. That's not our topic for the evening. Then I would have shown you the 10 virgins. And probably I would have taken time to explain to you why 5 of them were called foolish. That word foolish, I hope you know Jesus enjoined us not to use that word on people. But do you know that God used that word many times? This man is likened unto a foolish man. You know what it means? It's only God that has the right to call a man a fool. Are you with me? So it was still God that called those virgins foolish. I'll get back to my subject. I'm just trying to take you around. Why were they called foolish? What God does to renew your soul is different from what he did to regenerate your spirit. These utensils that you have are in different dimensions. The dimension in which your spirit operates, the atmosphere, the ecosystem, the realities it interfaces with is different from the realities your soul interfaces with. So when God comes into your vessel, he comes to enliven your spirit in order to set up a gradient in that chamber. And God wants to begin to flow from your spirit chamber through your soul chamber and then through your body chamber. That's the gradient. And that is the orientation of a spiritual man. His reality flows from within his spirit. But a soulish man has a different orientation. His reality flows from the chambers of his soul. So such a man is going to be known by his commitment to self-centeredness. And it is self-centeredness that is the foundation for sin. So when you see a lady that is beautiful, self-centeredness will make you think that the only use this lady has is to satisfy your sexual pleasure. Is it? If it doesn't make sense to you, then the thing is not as important as it looks. That is the kind of orientation that we sustained on the account of the fall. Those are some of the ailments of our soul that God will purge us from as we begin to walk with the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus showed us the accurate orientation of the human soul. He was God-centered. But the fall made us self-centered so that we'll be sold under sin. So when God begins to renew you, he begins to deliver you from you so that you can be a creature that is sold to God. I've seen so many preachers of the gospel. What they claim to be doing is preaching the gospel of Jesus. But it is stained with the debt of self-centeredness. Such sacrifice is not worthy to be offered to our God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not about you. God is not doing what he's doing because of you. In fact, it is a privilege for you to be part of what God is doing. And the truth of the matter is this. Are you with me? You can be serving God and you can be hungry. The reason is because you are not, it's not about you. Huh? Yeah, so have you ever seen someone that is serving God but is struggling financially? It's not about you. What will make God support you is when you have proven yourself to be faithful. I know you don't like my gospel. But you know what? I didn't choose this gospel. That's what I found in scripture. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then the things that the Gentiles seek will navigate in your direction. That's what the Bible says. And that was why we were determined in this ministry not to manipulate anybody. To bring money. Right? Because once you start, manipulation is one of the integers of witchcraft. I hope you know. It means we are using our own spirit to control people so that we can steal from them. And once it is established as a system, the people have been conditioned to operate that way. Not because it is right. It's because that's the custom. God will come one day after when you are old and he will show you that it was not his kingdom you were building. Right? A man that must have Jesus must come with a willingness to suffer. In your mind, suffering is part of what you allow. You know, if you are dressed right, you can work with the electricity. If you have there's one glove that they wear. Even if there's electricity on the cables, it will not affect you. If you are dressed right, you can work with dangerous things. If you have the have the consciousness, if you are adequately instructed and you have the adequate mindset, you can walk with God. Remember, for God, you are not in the center of what God is doing. Huh? You are just a part. You are a co-worker. So it's not about you. It is when you have proven yourself to be faithful to God. God knows what to do to change your situation. It's not a big deal. But he knows that if he changes your situation without you having an accurate orientation of how to serve him, that change of situation will become a distraction that will make your soul will be tainted with darkness. Because you will think it was about you. Are you with me? That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Is the one, the part of you that is Spirit that the Holy Ghost comes to regenerate. And from that gradient, the process of redeeming your entire vessel begins by the Holy Ghost. And that's what Romans chapter 5 verse 10 means. And you know, I've told you that there are two layers of salvation. The legal side and what the organic side, the living side. So the Holy Spirit begins to commence the living side when he has been smuggled into your heart. Did you get that? Question is, why were those virgins called foolish? Before I get back to the subject of the night. If you check the parable of the 10 virgins, what made the wise virgins wise? When we begin to teach about the salvation of the soul, that's when I will bring these matters. They are deeper matters. Deeper matters for Christians that want to wander deeper into God. Are you with me? The wise virgins had oil in their lamps and oil in their vessels. The foolish virgins only had oil in their lamps and they did not have oil in their vessels. So we need to explain what is the metaphor lamp in that parable and what is the metaphor vessel. Littered across the Old Testament, you will find David saying again and again that the spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. So if the human spirit happens to be the lamp, and thou shall light my candle, referring to your spirit, and the Lord shall enlighten my darkness. That is visibility that comes to inspiration from your spirit. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Now, so, your candle is the lamp. And if the Holy Ghost is in your candle, it means you are born again. Glory to God. But that's not all. You have a vessel. And the vessel happens to be your soul. So some people have experienced regeneration in their spirit, but no transformation in their soul. Such are the people that have accepted a self-centered gospel, that Jesus is existing because of them. It's about personal breakthrough, personal miracles, personal change. If my family is okay, I have two cars parked in the garage. If I have 3 master's degrees and have a white house on the top of the street, it's a sign that I'm in sync with God. That's another gospel. That's the gospel that has flooded the streets of Nigeria. How I wish I had time. That's the gospel that is responsible for the cancer that we have in the body of Christ. Because one intelligent preacher somewhere wants to make the believer think that he is the center of the reason why God is doing what he's doing. You are wrong. The Ancient of Days was in perfect harmony with himself in eternity before he created you. The only reason why God even went into that enterprise called creation is because he had a desire on his heart that he wanted accomplished. And you
became part of the byproduct of that intention. And the grace he gave you and me is that we will become partakers of that labor in facilitating that dream that God had in mind. That's the highest honor God can give a man, for you to be a co-laborer with him in accomplishing his divine purpose. The grace of God always flows in the direction of the purpose of God. The power of God always flows in the direction of the will of God. You have seen me minister many times. I pick what the Holy Ghost is saying and I ask him to confirm it, because I know his power will go in the area, in the direction of his will. Are you with me? Good. When you become a serious Christian and you see the way Jesus sacrificed to save you, he gave his life to save you. If you are a reasonable human being, do you think Jesus died so that you can ride a Toyota Matrix vehicle? If you are not under satanic manipulation, you will know that this is not why Jesus died. And that's why the ministers' conference we're holding this month is the goal of what? Of apostolic ministry. I want us to see the vision of the first fathers. What was Paul running to achieve? What burden did they have? And all the places where we see their goal and their burden littered across scripture, we want to bring it out so that we can challenge the church of our time. The church of our time thinks it's funfair that God arranged everything just to give you a better life. The church of our day believes that humanism is the wisdom of the gospel. That mankind is the center of what God wants to achieve. And that's the doctrine of devils. That's what devils. That's the same message that Satan preached to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Say, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall become wise like God. That means you will not need to be consulting this God you are looking for. You yourself will become the God. It was Satan that preached humanism first, that you are supposed to be the center of activities. And as long as you enthrone humanism, you have enthroned Satan. Are you with me? Our goal is to fulfill the will of God that is on his heart. That's the reason why you are existing. Right? So, if you follow accurate kingdom perspective, you will find that your reason for existing is on the heart of God. Okay, you don't believe me. Can you go to Colossians? You don't believe me. I know when there's unbelief. I pray I will be able to touch our grace topic. I will. Don't worry. Just stay with me, okay? Colossians chapter number 1. Okay, let's do 16, 17. Colossians 1, 16, 17. It said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Please underline by him and for him. Everything was created by him and they were created for him. The next verse. He is before all things, and by him does everything consist. That means I don't have a meaning until I pick it from the heart of Christ. My meaning, my essence, my relevance, my importance, the reason why I'm here is on the heart of Jesus. Because I was created by him and I was created for him. So I cannot know my meaning. We have made the meaning of life to be mundane. Meanwhile, the meaning of your essence is on his heart. Do you understand that? Now, so if you are living your life to fulfill what is on his heart, you have gone beyond self. Now you are in service. Did you get that? So you are no longer in self. What are you in now?
self.
So service will take you beyond self.
And only such individuals that can go beyond self can now be in active service. So you cannot serve from self, from the altar of self. And that's why the Bible says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. It is when it has surrendered that it will find the energy to sprout again. Not after the older nature, but after a new nature. This aspect of teaching that has to do with death to self, so that we'll be living and existing only because of our Maker. This is the doctrine of the cross. And the message of the cross is what the Pentecostal in Nigeria or in Africa or probably in the world have conveniently removed from the gospel. And if the cross is not in the gospel is a lie. It's the instrument through which everything in the old creation comes under the judgment of death. And so you cannot escape death to self. Because that is a verdict of the cross. God will not accept anything that has not yet died in itself and has started living by his spirit. Are you with me? The foolish virgins are Pentecostal believers like you and me that are born again and they feel that the syllabus ended upon regeneration. They confess scriptures like, I am a new creation, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am the head and not the tail. I am. You know that rubbish. Because you think God went to the cross because of, to make you, you are the center of it. He went to the cross so that his goal can still be in view. Right? Good. It happens to be that part of his goal is that he wants children. Not just anyhow children. Children that are in the likeness of his firstborn son, even Jesus Christ. And the example that Jesus gave us is in the book of Philippians chapter 2. He emptied himself of any privilege that was around him, so that he can be more suited to serve the purpose of the kingdom of God. So if you are going to operate in the kingdom of God and serve the kingdom of God and serve the will of God, there is a sentence on your flesh, on self. You are going to serve God at the expense of your willingness to surrender self. I know it's challenging. But what I'm teaching you is for kingdom people. Let me give you an idea. Because if we don't tell you, some of you won't know. When I was earning 330,000, do you know how much my family was committing to this ministry? I see my colleagues. I know the houses they have built. Yes, in many cities. The amount is withheld, actually. But you know what? You know why I was given that amount? Because one day, I was in prayer with my wife and the people in my house. We held our hands. And God told me, every month, give me that amount. It's an amount that if I give God, if the car breaks down, I will not be able to service it. It's an amount that if I give God, if anybody falls sick in the house, will not be able to treat the person. It's an amount that if I give God, our menu in the kitchen will be altered drastically. And I told my wife about it because she's also involved. God said, this is the amount we will give you.
And she said, okay, let's give it. I said, like, is it like that? You just say, okay, like. Then she said, God, Satan will not tell us to win souls. And Satan won't tell us to give God money. You know why it's difficult? It's because it's against self. All service to God is counter self. That's how it is. So that man that is thinking that he's doing ministry and his operating system is self, should go and look for a job. Because he only has a lamp. He doesn't have a vessel. He has not allowed God to transform his soul from being the soul of a fallen man that is self-centered. He maintains his self-centeredness and he claims he is in the field of ministry. Because the Holy Spirit is going to make you God-centered. And when you become God-centered, for a long time, he may not even attend to your needs so that you can truly be God-centered. And you can truly say, even if you don't give me anything again, I'm here. Because a time will come in your walk with God when it will not make sense to self. Even if you don't heal me, even if you don't do anything again, that you save me is enough. We'll keep on going. It means those are statements of agreeing to die to self. And if you don't go through that tunnel, you'll never be mighty in the kingdom of God. We have too many false preachers in Africa. This hall, imagine we've been here for 15 years. I've been moving in the gifts of the Spirit for a long time. Alright? I've been moving in it for a very long time. It is possible for me to be in the office. If you see a consultant, you pay 3,000. Who can confirm? Is it 3,000 or they have reviewed it? Is there no doctor in this house? How much do they pay to see a consultant? Okay, I can go into my office and say, okay, for consultation fee, and B will be there. Pastor B will be there. Say you drop 5,000 first. And we are not sure of anything, but start the process with. We can do it and people will get used to it and they'll be coming with 5,000. It doesn't make it right. The fact that it's working. Because Jesus said, freely have you received. Don't become so wise and rewrite the scripture in your own practice. See, the way it is in the scripture is too simple. Let's add some. It's designed to be offensive to self. It was out of the ashes of obedience that God picked me up and anointed me. Out of the ashes. And right now, I am determined not to betray him. Do you understand that? When you begin to operate with a lamp and a vessel, it means you have surrendered your soul to him. It's no longer about you. It's about him. But the believer that only has a lamp is born again and is trying to use God to satisfy his own agenda. God is the one that called that other believer foolish. Foolish not because of his current experiences, foolish because of the future. The first thing he was not aware of was that he didn't know the time that the bridegroom would come. So the bridegroom tarried. That was a variable he was not prepared for. And because the bridegroom tarried, oil was not sufficient. Meanwhile, the Bible says that when the bridegroom tarried, both wise and foolish slumbered and slept. You know the meaning of that? They all died. The foolish ones died. The wise ones died. It was in the afterlife that we saw who was wise. Let me leave you. I don't want, the message I have today is exciting. So let me not bring sorrow to you. until the right time. You know, I told you that I will teach you on a topic one day, snapshots of the afterlife. Let's clear all the doubt about your passage through death. One of the scriptures I will use is that one. All of them slept. All of them slept the sleep of death. It was when it was in the afterlife. It means the guys that were doing everything they were doing just for self, in their lifetime, they were reckoned to be mighty people. They were the reigning guys. They were the bubbling guys. And when you see their poster, people will come. What they are teaching is working. But their teaching lacks a vessel. All it had is what? A lamp. And nobody knew who was right or wrong until they all slept. So the impact of what they did, they didn't realize in their lifetime. Then the Bible says at midnight, what happened? There was a cry. That cry is that last trump that will make the dead in Christ rise. Hey. Like I said, I don't want to trouble you this night. Remind me. Where is Tony? Tony, this one, remind me of this one. The topic of that seminar will be the salvation of the soul. Alright? If you have a weak spirit, don't come. If you cry easily, watch online. Because I will not hide anything from you. I will show you the way it is. If your spirit is weak, are you? Tears are already here like this. Watch at home. Hallelujah. Remember, you are not a spirit. As a vehicle functions with fuel, you were designed to function with a commodity called grace. First scripture of the night, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, this is not the first scripture. That's the second scripture for the night. First Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. That is the first scripture for the night. Oh, it's already closing time. All right. Can you give me additional 15 minutes of your time? Just 15 minutes. I make a complete sense. In 15 minutes, we'll close. All right? Tomorrow, I will not continue because it's a deliverance service. I'll preach deliverance. Then, what's today's date? Well, I will see and I'll talk with Pastor Tony if we can do that thing next week. I'm not sure, but I will announce tomorrow if we can do the salvation of the soul next week. All right? If we can do it next week, then we'll now go into some matters. You see, but the end of all things is at hand, and be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I had to start from this point to show you that grace is manifold. This statement I'm making is predicated on the fact that you were designed to be a creature that will function on a fuel called grace. The New Testament creature was designed to run on grace. And it is needful, therefore, for me to inform you that grace is manifold. He says, every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of what? Of the manifold grace of God. Somebody help me with another translation that will simplify that big word called manifold. Manifold grace of God. Every aspect of your life is supposed to be driven by grace. Yes, yes. You know, I said it yesterday. Grace is when the Spirit of God is the one responsible for driving you. Do you know that as I'm speaking right now, I prayed so much at home. Why? Because I wanted the Holy Spirit to point out what I should say. Because when we go into the manifestation of grace, the first thing I will teach you is that grace gives you spiritual knowledge. But we have not come there. So I prayed. And then when I prayed, have you not seen in that scripture that says, the Spirit himself helped our infirmities? For we know not. So part of our infirmities is that we are insufficient in knowledge. And when grace begins to function in us, it brings sufficiency of knowledge. So the Holy Spirit can give you the prayer point to pray. Such prayer point that is the most accurate prayer point. And if you pray it, it is guided by the Holy Ghost. That prayer time will be spent for the most objective activity when he is the one that is responsible for giving you items to pray about. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So part of the manifestation of grace is that it will give you spiritual knowledge. But we have not reached there yet. Hallelujah. Grace. All right, so what translation are you reading, please?
J.P. Phillips translation.
Can you read the scripture to us?
Okay. Serve one another with the particular gifts God has given each of you as faithful dispensers of the magnificently varied grace of God.
Now, so the grace of God is magnificently varied. Are you with me? First thing you need to know is that we run on grace as new creation. We run on what? Grace. Now, second thing I'm saying is that grace is magnificently varied. It means there are different kinds of grace. So should I say that if you are struggling financially, it means you have not found a grace for financial breakthrough. There is such a grace. Every form of insufficiency you suffer is a proof that you are lacking in grace in a certain area. I know you can be a very spiritual person, but you can be spiritual, your wife is spiritual, but you are having clashes. What's the meaning? Insufficiency is proof that you have not found the grace for marital bliss. If our prayer points are narrowed down to grace items, you will see God answer your prayer faster. What God gives you that guarantees that an aspect of your life is settled is grace. The grace of God is manifold. Please, I need to give you a simple working definition of grace. Simple working definition. What is it? The Spirit of God is involved. That's a working definition. The Spirit of God is what? You come to a home and you see so much peace in the atmosphere. There is harmony. And then you will think it's a textbook they read. No. The Spirit of God is involved. Oh, you see someone, maybe in your class, he doesn't read so much. You read more than the person. But the person is passing more than you. The person has found grace for success. And remember, if the Spirit of God is involved, it is not by power,
eyes, not by mind. That's the sign.
The person is doing the supernatural
naturally.
The other day, a pastor came here and said, I have noticed your secret. That you have Bible study software. That's how you, it's because of that, they are manipulating scriptures like that. That give me all the software. I said, so you discovered. Oh, yeah. I gave him Power Bible CD. The updated 3.5 module. I gave him Encyclopedia Britannica. That has, you know what I'm talking about. It's a compendium. I gave him Esau. I gave him all kinds of stuff. 2 months later, when he met me, see, I'm confused. Instead of him to ask for grace, he's looking for methods and strategies. Meanwhile, the flesh profits what? Hallelujah. The grace of God is manifold. Now, that's Dr. Becky. She has 3 daughters. And they grew up among us here. And all of them were, you know, it's a burden to raise daughters. All of them, wonderful ladies, until they all got married. So I found that there was a grace she found. So in the community of saints, we rate men by grace. Oh. Okay, the keyboard man is giving me a signal that my time is up. So I just started the message actually. But let me look for how to round up. In a majestic way. Hallelujah. Let me look for how to round up. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's do Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts 4, 32. Now listen. In a community of saints, man's worth is a function of the grace he walks in. Let me read to you. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. Verse 33 is my emphasis. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The next phrase is my emphasis. And why was it that it was with great power they bore witness of the resurrection of Jesus? It was because great grace was upon them. So in the community of the people of God, it was not by titles that they were differentiated. The apostles were not recognized because of title. They were recognized because of grace. Remember, the fuel that the Christian is designed to run on is called what? Grace. How can you explain Tamara that was, and God says, I will use you to teach my counsel. The first hindrance that God has is to give me the ability to speak. Meanwhile, that was not a challenge for God, because that's what grace does. When a spirit is involved, you have the capacity to do natural things supernaturally and supernatural things naturally, because the spirit is involved. The way the apostles were differentiated from the other brethren was in terms of this. So I don't need to come with a bodyguard. Say, do you know who I am? If you ever have to make that statement, you are falling. with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and
great grace.
And what?
Great grace
was upon them. So I end on that note. The prayer is simple. Give me great grace. It has happened to me before. Okay. Do you remember that scripture that says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For Gentiles shall come into your light, and kings into the brightness of thy light. I found out as a preacher, you'll be ministering to Gentiles all your life if it's only light you have. Because kings will only come into the brightness of your eyes. You labored with Gentiles for too long. Eh? If you will give direction to kings, it will be because your rising is super bright. So there is grace, and there is also what? Great grace. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. This is the story I want to leave out. That with great power, I was able to give witness to the resurrection of Jesus because of great grace. Can we pray tonight? That fuel, the fuel is grace. If you find any aspect of your life that is still insufficient, it is a proof that you have not found grace in that area. Meanwhile, the grace of God is manifold. It's manifold. It's manifold. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Your story has not yet finished. There is an era of great grace that must be made manifest. Every time there is insufficiency, it is proof that grace is lacking. Grace is lacking. Someone can pray for grace to get married. Grace. 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 It is grace. It is about grace. It is about grace. Hebro Kapatuska, Miss Compela, Macabelaske, Tomasali, Isaiko Maseli. If it's not working, you have not found grace. The evidence of grace is that you can do the supernatural naturally, and you can do the natural supernatural. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace. Great grace. Great grace was upon them. Oh, Mama Yekosani, your grace, it shines. It shines on me. It shines on me. It's your breath. It shines on me. It shines on me.
shines on me. It shines on me. It's your grace. It shines on me. It shines on me. Your grace shines on me. Your grace, it shines on me, shines on me. Your grace, it shines on me, it shines on me, it shines on me. It's your grace.
Sosalego, Preskibo, Lama, Aiso Saliana.